Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Coming up, our conversation with the News Gazette columnist Bob Ospison, who's been covering Illinois sports for a long time. In fact, it's so long ago that he started that, Robert, it was before you were in college.
That's right. I was a mere high schooler, just a little kid.
We both have history with Bob that is positive, and Bob and I were colleagues together at the radio station at WDWS and at the News Gazette, and he's a friend, and I think he's a lot like you in this way. I cannot think of another person that is like him. I can't think of another person that's
totally
like
agree.
You.
Totally
and I
agree.
Can't think of another person that is like Bob.
I totally agree. He is one of a kind.
Yeah, absolutely. And full of one of the reasons I always wanted him on the radio is he had opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very opinionated.
Similar to you, they're not manufactured opinions.
Mm-hmm. Best thing about Bob is he's fearless. Like, remember that one time he got into hot water? He was the only vote for, who was it, Michigan preseason number one or whatever, and suddenly he's a national story that he's the only one voting for a certain, he doesn't care. Like, he has his opinions, and, you know, I like an AP voter that doesn't say, like, oh, it might look bad if I put them here. I'll put them, this would be more popular vote. Nope, he does not care about that at all.
And he will put opinions out, yeah, that where other people go, I don't even understand why you are thinking that, but he actually doesn't care. And we're going to talk about that.
Yes, absolutely.
He actually doesn't talk. Now, this is a note for all of our listeners who don't know Bob. Bob had a health issue or two more than a decade ago.
Yes.
And it left him recovering from a stroke. He shared this openly. And so it took a while for his speech to come back. If it's the first time you're hearing Bob, sometimes it's hard to understand him. It just is something that takes used to getting used to. And I can usually understand him clearly now.
Absolutely.
And I think most people will, but it's mm-hmm. just as an advice.
Yeah, just a note. Yep.
Yeah, just a note. Nonetheless, we are delighted to welcome in Bob Ospison to this episode of Light the Eye. And he's all one other thing. Bob is our first guest that has not been a coach or a player.
Oh, look
Lauren
at that.
Tate has been our other, so far, our other media guest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But Lauren did throw the jersey on.
Yes, he pitched for the Illini. Yes, you're
so,
right.
Bob's our trendsetter.
That's right. That's right.
Longtime columnist Bob Ospison is our guest today. We're glad to welcome him. But first things first, Robert, what do?
We have to light the eye.
News Gazette columnist Bob Ospison is here with us in our studio. Since the fall of 1989, he's been covering University of Illinois sports for the News Gazette. When you think of the longest tenured Illinois media members, there's Lauren Tate, of course, there's Steve Kelly, and then there's Bob Ospison, who joins us here in studio. And I'm proud to say, not only a great writer and a guy I've spent a lot of time with on the radio, but also a friend.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. I'm honored to be on here. Really am. I didn't know where you were. I'm puzzled about the whole thing.
It's only the most confusing building on campus.
I'm praying my car is still there when I get out of here. But other than that, I'm fine.
Hey, look, everybody who's ever been in this building is praying their car is still there when they get out of here. So, yes.
Yeah, because I don't know where they take them. I'm pretty sure it's another state.
Yes.
Well, just so you know, half of our guests are still in this building. They just never got out.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Wandering the halls.
50% or so do make it out. It's not a bad...
Army as a building on campus is pretty cool. It's not my favorite, but it's pretty nice. Great that they're open. I think still open in the winter for people to walk. I think that's cool. I like that.
I do. Yeah, it's very Big Ten University, right?
Right.
Midwest University having an armory right on campus.
Right.
Very, very late 1800s.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very cool.
We have been marveling for this year about the state of Illinois athletics.
Okay.
And it occurs to me that the state of Illinois athletics has not been in the position it's been in since you started
right
covering at the point when you could say, well, at least football and basketball were their best in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, they were pretty good. They were really good teams. And basketball is there, hanging in there. Obviously, yeah, Dion thing, but yeah. But yeah. This is probably a rise above moment for them. I think this is the best shape, and yet there's more steps. So it's kind of like this, you know, they got this goal they want. They've got a lot of the way there, but they're not quite there. I think the Final Four last year is a good sign where the program is overall, but they have more things to do. Football, again, playoff to me,
yes,
would be the ultimate goal. It's easier with 12 than with 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier with 24 than 12. And I root for 24. I think that's going to happen. But not so much because of Illinois, but I just think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I think a team like Illinois, which is so close the last couple of years, should have a chance to make it to the playoffs. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I would like their chances last year as a 9-win team to make a run.
I think that is very much the goal for Illinois now is, okay, 6 Final Fours, it's time to get a title.
Right, of course.
And get to the playoff.
Right, that's right.
That's the next level for each sport, and I think an expectation in the next 10 years.
The
and
fact that Indiana just won the football title
yes.
makes it like, so everybody else in the Big Ten is like, oh, thanks, Indiana.
Right.
Good
Changes
job.
The math.
Good
now
job,
Rutgers just, could do it.
Right, right. Okay. Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this, and just Robert is going to have to bite his tongue. Maybe just take your headphones off, Robert.
Just mute me.
Yeah. Bob, do you think that Indiana's run to a national title is possibly the greatest college sports story in American history?
No question it is. It is it. 100% is. It may be the greatest sports story in history. And I think I joked with somebody earlier today, the Miracle on Ice is similar. But again, hockey is not quite the great attention. This is Indiana, worst football program in the country, period, record-wise, over in history. They won the national title and went undefeated. So Kirk Cignetti is a miracle worker. What he pulled off is a miracle. Nobody would ever have predicted this. If somebody 10 years ago had said, hey, you know what, that's going to happen. I think Indiana's going to go 16-0, had the Heisman Trophy winner, win the title. First of all, you'd say, what title? But then you'd say, you're out of your mind. Let's go lock you up. Take you, put the key, throw it away. But this has happened. So this is a miracle. And here, I'll tell you something even more crazy. They could do it again. They could go 16-0 again. They got a nice team come back. They're going to preseason number one will be Indiana on my ballot. Now, I may be the only one. I think I had Ohio State last year. This year, number one preseason is going to be them because what I just saw, they beat everybody. They beat every team thrown in front of them. They keep thinking, well, they'll lose to Miami. They'll lose to Oregon. They'll lose to somebody. No. They didn't. They got a bunch of guys back. So I think it's the biggest story, greatest story in the history of college sports, period. And probably the greatest story. It'd be like, how about this? I get a good comparison. Let's say the U.S. now, this year, wins the World Cup. The U.S. team wins the World Cup. Yeah, unheralded right. team wins the World Cup. That's Indiana football last year. That's U.S. wins the World Cup. Same thing. So it's pretty special what they've done. I'm rooting for them to come back in a great year again.
I think the difference is, you know, like the Miracle on Ice was kind of not a high expectation team
no.
that pulled off the stunner.
Right.
It's one the game. Cinderella run.
Well, boy, one game was really all that mattered to that team was beating the Russians. And the Russians were independent. And I don't think Ohio State or Indiana did play like a team like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that to me makes this unique is, actually, to me, if you said 10 years ago, oh, Indiana is going to win a national championship and have the Heisman winner, okay, well, a lot can happen in 10 years. But what happened in the 2023?
Right.
And then things turned around and a coach walks in and brings along some players from James Madison.
Right. That part makes it more special.
Yeah. So, once halfway through the year, you started going, oh, Indiana might have a shot at a title because they were showing themselves to be good. But just the remarkable turnaround from what it was 2 years ago to where it was today.
And the year that they had put some heat on every, like you said, Rutgers, hey, you're on the clock. In Illinois, you're on the clock. Everybody's on the clock. Minnesota, you're on the clock.
Worst thing that could happen to college football coaches ever.
But good. Also the best thing. Because it gave them a goal. It gave them hope.
Gives them a pitch to players of like, hey, if you think you're not coming here because you can only win a title at three different schools, you can win a title anywhere, you should come here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm really glad it happened. I wanted to see it happen. Once it looked like it might happen, I'm thinking all of the great things I've seen in my lifetime, sports-wise, Miracle on Ice was being one of them. I thought, I would see Indiana win the football title because it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all, and it happened.
Still makes no sense.
It's
been 6 months, basically, or 5 months later, it still makes
no sense. It's just crazy. But again, if you're Illinois, you're Brett Bielema, you go to your team and say, guys, look, I know we had a bad game at Bloomington a couple of years ago. That didn't go well. But we can do that. We can do what they just did. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take a lot of luck, maybe. Actually, Indiana didn't have luck. They just had good players. But it's, you know, they had the first pick in the draft. They had a good team. And first-round receiver. They had guys. So they're a miracle on that moon for them. Kirk Schenady is not lovable. He's more Herb Brooks than somebody you really love.
Maybe that's the key, is get a Herb Brooks.
Herb Brooks was not easy.
Yeah.
And I know people that were involved in that hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
They said everything you hear about Herb is right. It's all true. He's cantankerous and tough and hard. I made the team and stayed late at night and got chased out of the arena. That stuff all happened. So I assume Cignetti was similar.
Yep.
But he's, you know what else? He's making $13.2 million this year.
The old, some guy wakes up in a coma for 4 years ago.
Right.
Explain to him that Indiana won the title and their coach is making $14 million. It's like no one would believe you. Yes.
It's like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Like, what did I miss?
Right.
Well, the Titans almost won the Super Bowl, but, you know.
Yes, yes. We have a football team now in Tennessee? Yeah. Right. Yes. I wanted to ask you, Bob, like, what made you get into this? Like, what's the Bob origin story of why you wanted to write about sports?
Sports writing is kind of an accident, but I wanted to be involved in sports. Mm-hmm. From a young age, I was a huge fan. I had two older brothers who, Jim and Steve, they're a great influences on me. My dad passed away at age three. Mm-hmm. So I was 3 years old. I didn't know him, but they became like surrogate fathers.
Sure.
And I have family friends, same thing. So, but they were big sports guys. So they took me to games, took me to whatever, baseball, basketball, football, whatever. We went to everything. I was watching everything. Now, this is back in the day. I was born in 1961. But there's not a whole lot of sports on TV. Game of the week, Major League Game of the Week, which people always ask me, why are you a Hank Aaron fan? I'm sitting around one day, one Saturday with my brothers. We're watching the Atlanta Braves playing whoever, Dodgers, who I don't care, and a Saturday Game of the Week. And Hank Aaron comes up and hits a bomb and is like, okay. And my brothers are like, wow, that guy's great. Mm-hmm. And he was not quite in the home run Babe Ruth chase yet. It was the early 70s. And like, so they said, Hank Aaron's great. And your total brothers, they're, I think, 9 and 10 years older than me. They say, Hank Aaron's great. It's like, okay, I'm a Hank Aaron fan. Like, immediately. I was 10. I'm a fan of Hank Aaron. So from that point on, I knew I followed his life, followed his career. And so so that got me into sports. I love sports. I loved Hank Aaron. I loved different teams. And then I was looking for some way to eventually take my passion, which is sports, and make it into something that could be a career. Hopefully a high-paying career, which I didn't. Obviously, it went the wrong way there. But I was thinking I can be a sports writer or a sportscaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody very early tell me, you're too ugly to be on TV. Okay. I agreed with him. I didn't disagree with that. I said, you're right. I probably am. I mean, I would say the same thing about other people that are on TV that are ugly, but that's fine. Not me. So I said, okay, I can live with that. What else can I do? Well, radio would work. Except for like this, mm-hmm. I'm not, normally faces aren't on radio. They are now, but
sure.
Nobody thought of podcasts or live streaming.
Absolutely.
That was not imagination 50 years ago. So anyway, I thought, well, writing or podcast as a radio guy would work. And so I went to a writing pretty quickly. I had a teacher in grade school actually told me, you can write. She didn't say you write sports. She said you can write. Mm-hmm. I was pretty creative. She said, not making things up, but just being creative. And she said, you should go this way. Mrs. Dashwell, I wonder if she's alive. She was awesome. Very pretty, too. I don't know why that has anything to do with it. But pretty woman that said, hey, you're a great writer. Well, sounds like good to me. Mrs. Dashwell said, it's okay, I'll do it.
I'm on board.
And I was dead and go from there. And we got it in. Used to work in the high school paper, or college paper, and then Ames Tribune, first job at the college. And then obviously here. And I knew I'd come here. I'll come here for 3 years and move on to the Constitution Journal. Mm-hmm. That's my plan. Maybe I'll be in Champaign for 5 years. And that did not work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wanted to work at the Constitution Journal in Atlanta
to cover
the Braves?
Correct. Which probably would not have been very fair. I just wanted to be around them. I wanted to be able to go to every game of theirs. It was my dream.
That would be like a fan covering a team.
I know.
I don't know how that would have worked,
probably.
Yeah, how do fans cover? Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
That would not
have worked very well. But not for newspapers. That was my plan. Actually, I had not a job offer, but I submitted interest from a paper in Georgia before I came here. And never pursued it very much. But I thought, well, I'll get close to Atlanta, and I'll be around them, and I'll be able to go see them. And it just didn't quite work out. And it's worked out fine because I can watch them from afar, be a fan, get to know the team, and not really care. I'm not a person that, like, if I'm around athletes, I don't get all quaky. Yeah. I'm the opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm very low-key. I don't treat them like anything special. I mean, I recognize their... I'm talking about coaches and players and athletes. I recognize what they do is special, like that. But I don't feel inferior, or I don't feel like want to be a fan around them. Mm-hmm. I think I saw Hank Aaron in person. I never got to meet him. That would have been probably the test of that.
The closest to.
But
that
there are other people. I've met a lot of people you would recognize and admire. Joe Paterno, trying to think of different people. But I've met people like that I've not been gaga over. I've been able to maintain some poise, and I think that's important.
So you, here in 89, so you basically, you saw the 10-2 season followed by the 8-4 season.
Right.
Then you saw the 30-year valley.
Correct. That's
and
right.
Then you've now seen a 10-3 season and a 9-4 season.
And it's funny. I just talked to Ron Turner today, and he will remember this. One day, him and I are arguing about something. We had a little controversy. It's funny. When he was coaching here, we got mad at each other all the time. Mm-hmm. I never yelled at him, but he could yell at me all he wants. And he could swear at me, and I wouldn't swear back, of course, because that would be unprofessional. But he got mad at me one time over something, and he starts yelling at me and says, you guys, you reporters, all you guys wanted us to lose. Are you rude against us? I'm like, I just stopped him. I said, listen, okay. Coach Turner, we've had arguments over, but what you just said is insane, because let's say Illinois goes out and loses by, say, 63-14 or whatever the Indiana score was. Do you think anybody wants to read that the next day? Of course not.
Right.
And of course, they don't want to read that. They want to read, hey, everything was good. They won. Great. And obviously, my rooting interest is me. It's my paper. What my story is, I root for me. Tom Boswell, a great Washington Post guy, said that. I root for me. And I do root for me means I root for my paper. My publication or radio station or whatever, podcast, I root for them to do well. So if it means only winning, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Illinois last year in basketball, it was a good thing for the News Gazette. It's a good thing for the town. It's a good thing for the university. So anybody thinks that we root against them, that's just wrong. Now, do we root for them? We shouldn't. We should be neutral. We should. So for me, and my wife gets mad at me because she went to Illinois. We talk about that all the time. She said, you don't have to keep saying that. But I say, I'm neutral. When I'm at the game, I'm Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I don't root. I can't root.
You have a lot of gold? What's that? You have a lot of gold stored away in Switzerland?
Oh, I should. Yeah. I wish I would. But I don't feel like... So basically, post-game, obviously, you get close to people. You get close to the coaches, get close to players, get close to the families, their parents. You know, it's pretty normal to be affected by what happens in the field, good or bad. Mm-hmm. When somebody has a great moment, say... when you go in the Final Four, you feel for the guys. You feel positive for them. You feel great for Coach Underwood. I mean, that's pretty normal. But I think what you have to do is find a place where I don't let it affect me personally. It doesn't change my... Now, when the Braves lose, I'm devastated every day. You see the score. I never watch them live. I watch them taped if they win. If they lose, I'm down for a day. I really am. It hits me. Mm-hmm. And when Illinois loses... I could work, and it makes it very easy for me to work. And I don't root against him, surely not. And so Ron Turner wrong if you listen to this, but I do not root for them either. I root for me. So if the great story is, I'll tell you what, one time I can remember rooting for Illinois would be 100% the Arizona game.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there going, Illinois is getting beat by 15. I'm sitting there. I'm going to have 5 minutes to write a story. What am I going to write? There's nothing to write about it. Nobody's going to want to read it. And then you get this great comeback. That to me, that's like, okay. I remember thinking it'd be really cool if Darren Williams to hit their three. That'd be pretty cool. And he did. It was perfect. And I was able to write a nice story. And I saw that's that time where really something like that, something glorious like that, it's hard not to root for that.
Sure.
But again, generally, I'm kind of like down the middle. Switzerland with no gold.
You know, you say you talked to Ron Turner. You still talk to Ron Zook at all?
At the end,
you had that moment of like, yeah. Bob.
Well, but
now is not the time.
I would consider him. I would consider the following. I'm friends with him. Mm-hmm. I consider him. Him and I were great during this time.
Sure.
He got mad at me three times, and twice he was wrong. One time, he was probably right. But we got along really, and we got along not well now. Mm-hmm. Bill Cubitt, I talked to pretty routinely. Mm-hmm. Lou Tepper, I hear from him routinely. I just saw him a month ago. So, yes, I Tim Beckman, I've lost touch with him, but I would talk to him happily. Mm-hmm. I like all those guys.
Sure.
Basketball coaches, Bill Self, Coach Kruger, of course. All those guys are really good guys. So, yeah, but Ron Zook, he was really helpful to me. He let me do things that you don't get to do now, certainly. I said, hey, can I go on a recruiting trip with you? Sure, come along. Mm-hmm. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
And I went and had a great time doing that kind of stuff. So that's not going on now. But with him, everything was open. He actually scolded me often. Come over to the office more. He said, come over to our office, hang out. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I can't do that. And I got two little kids, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to hang out with the dog. We didn't have a dog. But I said, I want to hang out at home. He said, no, come over to the office. Because he was mad at me for not being there enough. Mm-hmm. And I felt that would be intrusive on my part.
Interesting.
But I don't think you can do that now. Can I hang out at the office?
Well, they could let you, but
they won't.
Most coaches wouldn't.
But he was an exception. He was wanting me around. Obviously, practices were up and then. I had a great relationship with guys that followed him too. So,
yeah.
It was, and that's part, you know, when they leave, when Bill Cubitt left, it hit me.
Sure.
When Ron Turner left, it hit me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew the families and the kids. Wendy Turner was a great person. In fact, she sent, when I had my three kids, she sent us baby gifts. Mm. Both kids. It was really nice. That's and that cool. kind of stuff is pretty sweet. So I like the families. Bill Cubitt was great. Ron Turner and Zook, all of these guys are great. So you miss them. That's the hard part. The assistant coaches move on. Michael Oxley was great. mm-hmm. and just and all that he's been through. So it's like you get closer to them that way. That's the part you kind of, it's kind of a blessing and curse of the whole thing. Sure. You keep seeing people move on. You know, people keep coming in and out of your life. Now, you know, I'm trying to think, like current stuff. Well, Aaron Henry, mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic. Had two little kids writing, but he got here. It's like, I want to see those guys grow up. I want to see them when they get older. And we won't probably see that.
Did you ever talk to Aaron Henry about why his name was backwards?
Yeah, exactly. And I almost did with my son. He almost became Henry Aaron Osmus. But my wife's put the kibosh in there in middle name. It's just Hank.
It's just Hank. It's close enough.
But I like Aaron Hank. Yeah, pretty cool. But then again, I feel the same way about the current kids. Barry Loney is a great guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to see those people do well.
You often write columns now.
Correct.
I don't know if you write straight game stories anymore.
No, I really don't.
But what only do you like about, idea. What do you like about, I know what you like about writing columns. You get to write your opinion.
Correct.
But
I have a lot of opinions. Feel free to share them all the time.
Yes. Often wrong, never in doubt might
well,
be your.
I don't care about what people think about me anymore.
It's something I admire in you.
Well, it's frankly from my illness, honestly. I mean, I don't think I had that before. I think when I got sick, it was 2012, 13. When I got sick, I became aware of, hey, life is short. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it was like, okay, I almost didn't make it. And life's short. So I'm like, okay. So what somebody thinks about my column, obviously, I want to be accurate, be fair. All of those things are important. That's critical. But if somebody disagrees with me about X, Y, Z, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Let's disagree.
Yeah. That was at Camp Rantoul, right?
Around that time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It actually happened. I was in Duluth, Minnesota. Okay. It actually happened. Heart attack. But then the next year I had surgery and it just went haywire. But I'm fine. Yep. I'm alive. So it's good.
And I didn't know you.
Right. You did not.
Pre-event. Well.
You didn't know my. So my voice is different.
Yeah.
Robert could do it. Yep. It's not a whole lot different. Probably a little deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. I think so. Definitely.
Yep. It's much better now than say 13 years ago when I woke up and couldn't talk or see. I was like, whoa, this is going to stink. But it was fine. And I had great people worked with me and made me better. And so anyway, so I've changed that way. But yeah, you didn't know me back then.
No, but what do you think I would know about, would notice was different?
I'm more sunny now. I'm much less critical of things. I'm much more willing to let people slide. There's something now. That doesn't mean I see something stupid. I don't call it out. I definitely do that. But I don't take it myself or anything too seriously, because sports definitely is fun. Sports is great, mm-hmm. but it's not life or death. I just went through the life or death. That was not fun.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that what I do is positive. And the other thing that maybe you'd know now, somebody asks me for help on anything, I don't care what it is, I will try. Every time. Without a question. So you ask me to come on a show, there's no question I'm gonna do it. I mean I'm gonna make it work no matter what. I don't say no to things. And I don't say no to family things. That's which is a lot. I lost my brother-in-law last week. I did everything we did. Yeah, I don't miss things. I go to every event, every concert, every play, everything, whatever anybody's involved in, I go to everything. But I think that's what I'm different. I was much more focused on the job 13 years ago than I am now, 100%.
I can attest that what you say is true. I've never been refused by you.
No, I don't do it. Unless it's something I really don't want to do.
Well,
like clean.
I guess.
Somebody said, hey, Bob, go clean the bedroom. I was like, okay, I don't feel good. But yeah. I don't use that. Tim also jokes about it. He calls it using the heart card. I use the heart card sometimes, which I really don't do. Occasionally I do.
Yeah.
More in our conversation with Bob Osmussen in just a moment. But first, we want to let you know that this episode is brought to you in part by Logic Coworking and Logic Events. The next place for you to host a gathering for business, for pleasure for whatever is Logic Events. They're teaming up with Blue Dragonfly Catering to provide a sensational experience for you and your coworkers, colleagues, networkers, whatever it may be. The Logic staff's there to provide a welcoming atmosphere that's friendly and helps guests get to where they need to be. And with Blue Dragonfly Catering, there's farm-to-table inspired menus featuring fresh seasonal ingredients with a great choice of menus for you to choose from, and they're accommodating to all the dietary needs. And as for the meeting space, there's AV equipment, microphones, all the things you need with tables and chairs and nice tablecloths and flexible scheduling. Whether it's a one-off event or something that you want to set up monthly, Logic Events is the place for you. Two trusted local partners, one seamless luncheon experience, Logic Events and Blue Dragonfly Catering.
This is probably a good time to bring up. So people don't know this. Like, a lot of people know my writing and will know me from this and don't know this story. So I sit here because of Bob Austin.
That's not true.
It is. It's 100% true. And I'm going to make you sit here and listen to me say it. So in college, I had a job at the News Gazette. I was a score taker.
We don't have those anymore.
Yes. It was the best. You know, I'm a sports junkie in college, so I just go to the News Gazette on a Friday night, answer the phone. It would be a high school assistant coach calling to say, Atwood Hammond beat Georgetown Ridge Farm. Here's the scores. So-and-so had a 26-yard touchdown in the first quarter and this and that. So I started doing that. Then I moved up to Agate Shooter, which I guess you kind of still have. It's basically the guy laying out the scoreboard page. Here's the NBA standings. Here's the Major League. Here is the results from the marathon on Saturday. All that. Here are the bowling scores.
That's what I wouldn't do.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yes, man, I'm not doing those, Scott. I'm just like, nope, I'm but good.
Again,
there's a problem with my ticker. Right?
Yes.
I don't feel good.
There was a, you know, I was a sports junkie, so it was the perfect college job for me to have and this and that. There is a game against Purdue when the basketball beat writer, this is 1990. Spring of 96.
That would be Jeff D'Alessio.
Yes. D'Alessio was out of town for a wedding, or maybe maybe he was even just sick.
Okay.
But you took me along with you to cover the Illinois-Purdue game.
Okay.
And then afterwards, at one point during the game, you won't remember this, Matt Heldman hit a three.
I
jumped up out of my seat to like, yeah, kind of thing, and you grabbed the back of my collar and pulled me back down.
I definitely did that. Yes. I imagine
because you know, like, hey, this kid can't be cheering from press row.
Of course,
an issue still 30 years later now. Okay. But then I went. I remember interviewing Roy Hairston of Purdue.
Really?
While you went, and you just gave me a tape recorder to like record some things.
Okay, makes sense.
The bug of that night, is the reason I eventually started a blog and came here.
But it's
not just that. Once I left, you know, I got a job in St. Louis. I graduated. I left the News Gazette. I couldn't, you know, be an Agate Shooter anymore or whatever. So I left and I moved to St. Louis. But Bob would see me at football games and would always reach out. You remembered me.
In fact,
one time you came to St. Louis because you used I had Rams season tickets and he used my seats in the dome for something.
Seriously?
So he and I
don't remember that.
Yes. You came by my house when I was living with my mom.
So
right
I lost part of my brain during my strokes. I forget some things.
You're totally
fine.
You remembered me. And like, I remember I would be like walking behind on Irwin Drive behind the stadium. You'd be waiting to get in line to go to the post-game press conference. You would always say, hey, and this and that.
Well,
and so then when I started the blog and I came up and I started going to Camp Rantoul, I needed people who knew who I was. That was basically the big thing. And you knew me from the years at News Gazette and this and that. And so my first little credibility with Kent was you knowing me.
Oh, my.
So that was the whole, like, you just remembering me and saying, like, yeah, I know this kid. You know, he's he worked at the News Gazette years ago and this and that. You know, I was just building something from nothing. And so that was what got me into this. So
the problem with you is, Why are you not Bob? Never Bob?
I have always been Bob. So here's the thing. I'll tell this straight up. There are two reasons that when I started the blog, I went with my formal name of Robert, even though most people in life...
But people call you Bob.
Yes. Yes.
Like at all?
It's just like Bob De Niro, right? Like everybody says Robert De Niro on the thing, but then there's like, oh, was it Bob De Niro's house?
I did not know you
were
called Bob.
Yes. So I've gone by Bobby, Bob, and Robert my life. I'm just interchangeable like that kind of thing. But because you were the Bob of sports writing, I couldn't also be Bob.
I would never have been Robert, so you're safe
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
That was never going to happen.
And I've used Robert, and it's on all my official stuff at work
funny.
And this and that.
I have no
and so
idea.
That's why I went with Robert.
So you'd be Bob otherwise. If
yes,
not, from,
if
so
not
if I,
for you.
So if I kick off, you take Bob back.
Uh-huh. Kent always called me Bob, so we'd be on like Zoom press conferences, and he'd be like, oh, Bob Rosenthal is the next question. I'm like, Kent, you got to go with Robert here.
Yeah,
but look, for people who have our name Bob, you just have all these different options. I was Bobby all through high school.
Okay.
You know, Bobby up until high school. I've been Robert for, you know, the formal side of me, and Bob for the people on the... My mom still calls me Bobby. That's the only name she's ever used.
I don't know about you. I think all Bobs share this. We all like knowing other Bobs.
Yes.
I think that's, for some reason, I feel like instant closeness, somebody named Bob. I always want to give them... I'm so happy. Like Bobby Cox was the Braves manager forever. I just loved that. His name was Bobby.
Yes.
He's cool. And Bob and Bobby are the same thing. And Robert's actually the same thing, too.
Yep.
Robs are kind of weird.
Exactly. I've always said that. Robs are their own little category.
I have a half brother's Rob.
Yes.
You know about the story, which I can't tell here. But my half brother's Rob.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy. We have Rob and Bob. But
I've had conversations with other Roberts before that. On the Bob side of the Robert spectrum is this, like, you kind of can just swing back and forth between Bob, Bobby, and Robert of just people. And again, actors are like that and everything else. That people are a formal Robert and an informal Bob or an informal Bobby. And
I don't think of Rob's as Bob's. So
you're
like
right.
Rob Lowe, I should take him in. He should be a Bob, but he's not a Bob. He's Rob.
Yes.
So,
Rob's a whole other category.
Rob's a different group of people.
Yes.
A lot of cool Robs out there.
Yes. So the reason for Robert and the reason
I
for...
I have no idea.
Look at how much we have intertwined here. You pulled me down from standing up and cheering in the press box
sure.
in 1996, and then you gave me some credibility in 2009 at Camp Rantoul.
So I'll drop another News Gazette name doing something similar to what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Schenck, who covered courts for us forever, covered the police beat forever at News Gazette, has since retired. She gets assigned during the 05 team to come out and cover, I think it was that. No, it might have been Chief's Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
She might have been that. It was one of those two. She's assigned by News to go out and cover the game. She comes to the game. Guess what she's wearing? Illinois shirt. Like, Mary, what are you doing? Come on. I was like, well, do I need to tell her that? So from then on, every time I saw her, I gave a grief about it.
Yep.
But it's like, okay. I didn't know what we did. I think I told her to... I don't know what she did. She might have had a sweater on, a jacket or something. I said, pull that up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people have said that.
As I said earlier, this is my, it's not an Illini shirt.
Right.
This is my press conference shirt.
Because
it's orange and blue, so I can go out among the fans, but it's also not an Illini shirt, technically. So, I can fit into both categories. So, yes. So, this is my formal opportunity, Bob, to say thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. I did not know that.
All of the, you just giving me a little bit of credibility with Kent was this huge thing. Because anybody can just show up at Camp Rantoul and be like, I got a blog. Can I interview the players? They don't know who I am,
Well,
just some random guy. So, I appreciate
it. Kent is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he probably saw the passion, figured out, Bob, basically what they would want to avoid is trouble.
Sure.
So if you came in and started asking, hey, coach, why'd you do this, why, X, Y, Z, that would be the end of it.
Yes.
But because you weren't doing that, because you paid attention, I think that was okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have an impact.
Thank you. I really, it's a big moment. Again, I got my degree in landscape architecture here. I went and did that for 20 years in St. Louis. I was on a whole different path, but the seed of that night, interviewing some Purdue players.
Wait, what was the guy's name?
Roy Hairston. He was the guy who came along just after Big Dog and was like that next Purdue team.
And what year?
96. Okay, I think it was spring of 96.
So Kruger.
Yeah, final year of Kruger. Henson.
Oh, that,
yeah,
okay.
Final year of Henson, okay. Just before. That makes sense. So this was a few weeks before Henson retired.
I'm not sure Jeff would have been covering the team yet.
I think he was. He was there that spring. Wait,
first year? Okay.
It was right when Rosso was taken over and right. Gene McDonald was. Right. She interviewed
I just
me.
I just saw her yesterday.
Yeah. So. She was just leaving and Rosso was taking okay. over when I saw
her. So, yeah, what we did forever, Lauren Tate covered the whole team, covered every team by himself. And I helped, and so did other people. But he decided he covered football, basketball as a beat writer and columnist, which makes no sense at all.
Yep.
So when Jeff and I... Lauren decided to halfway step away. Jeff and I were brought in, and Jeff was basketball, and I was football, which is kind of what I wanted. I had no interest in basketball. I love basketball. I love covering it like as the second person. I don't want to be the beat guy. It's too crazy. I don't like all the flights in the winter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, football I can do.
I'll tell one more story from that spring. I'm a score taker, or maybe I was an aggregate shooter that time. News Gazette office is there downtown. I'm in doing my thing over there in the sports department, and I had to go ask you a question.
Okay.
You didn't see me coming.
Okay.
And you had the Florida media guide out because you had heard that Kruger was going to be the hire. So had there been Twitter in in 1996, some kid working at the News Gazette could have been like, hey, I believe that Lon Kruger is going to be, but you quickly covered it up because obviously, you know, you're not expecting some kid to just walk up and be like, what you working probably, on?
Well, but, we broke that story by accident. What happened was a writer in Orlando. No, I had heard Kruger, and so I called the AD at Florida. His name is Jeremy Foley, was the AD there then. I called, and he didn't call me back. And so I called a reporter in Orlando who covered the team, said, hey, I'm trying to reach Jeremy Foley. Why wouldn't he call me back? He said, that's weird. So he called the guy, and Foley said, hey, because I was going to ask him, has someone reached out? Well, they had. So this guy, can't remember his name, sorry about that, he called me back and said, hey, there's something there. So
yeah.
I knew.
Yeah.
I think we reported pretty quickly.
Yep.
And I was glad they got
it. I think it was
him.
The next day in the afternoon paper or whatever.
I think we knew. Yeah. I think we knew. Yep. I think we got it thanks to that. So we had Bill Self early, too, thanks to him.
And again, this is 96. So this was like the story would break in a newspaper.
Correct.
And then ESPN or the AP would grab it and saying, hey, the Champaign News Gazette is reporting that. You know, wasn't a
Kruger
Twitter
hired.
Thing.
I think it was, something like that.
Yep.
Would you agree that these days it's hard to know what's going to happen ahead of time?
Compared to
decades gone by?
Yes, 100%.
Why so?
Well, because everybody's a reporter. Everybody has, I have Twitter,
camera on your phone.
I have camera on my phone, I have everything. I can break the news myself. So let's say I'm a recruit. I want to tell people I'm going to school X, I'm going to Y, I'm going to Iowa, whatever. And you could do it yourself. Why wouldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. It makes some sense.
Is there some point where you feel like you let go? There was a time where you came to your newspaper to find out what happened.
Right.
And that's not necessarily, not because the newspaper doesn't report what's happened.
Right,
of
course.
They do. You do. You do so well. It's just you don't have to go there. Necessarily for what just happened.
He just came up with why I like being a columnist because I don't worry about the news now. I worry about reacting to the news. So the pressure is off me. It's already happened. What's happened? So the football schedule came out today. I'll write a little blurb about that tomorrow on my Can't Wait for Saturday. I'll put that in there. But my reaction to it. I think we can't break things. What we can do, and that we need to do, is break things that aren't related to facts and, facts, not just game related, not just hires, not just, there's other things going on. There's controversy, there's things behind the scenes. We have to make it our job to find more stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're able to do. So create a story out of something that people don't say is a story. We can do that. So I'm still excited about the job. I don't care about breaking things. It doesn't matter to me. Because you broke it for now. It used to be, you're right, Robert was right. It used to be you'd have a day Half a day on everybody else. We added, and actually Jeff DeLazzo broke the Cougars going to Hawks thing. So far ahead of time that everybody reported that we reported, or Jeff reported.
Mm-hmm.
It was for days. It didn't get hired. But he knew. He had it from Dad. So we got the credit for it. That didn't happen anymore. The credit lasts about 2 minutes. But I don't care about it. I always said that the world will be a lot better off. We don't care about who gets credit. I think that's very, and newspapers, that's kind of flies in the face.
I'm going to attribute that quote to you every time.
We want to break things.
Mm-hmm.
But what we really want to do is do the best job. When something happens, when nobody wins a big game, we need to do the best job right about the game. Put it in a way that nobody else could do it. That's my job now. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think we do that.
And you provide the unique perspective that is you.
I've been there for a long time. I know where the bodies were buried. There are no bodies. But I know what happened in 1990 on the Illinois football team.
Mm-hmm.
That affects today. I know what happened in 2001, Illinois football team. That what it affects today, 07, or a hashtag game. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were there.
Because
I remember seeing you on the sidelines. And it was the best quarter of my life. I was watching that game. I went down in the fourth quarter in Ohio Stadium with the crowd stunned. They're like, what is going on here? Why are we losing this to this team? What's going on? And I thought, and I predicted, you know, we'll win this game. I put in the paper, they're going to win. I was sure of it. I was so sure. Mm-hmm. And I was on the fourth quarter, me, I think you know, I saw you several times, Chris from Whitlick, from WCIA, was down there too. I'm on the sidelines watching the game, just stunned by how good it was. I absorbed it. And I was able to write a pretty good story after the fact. I think I wrote about the 7-man drive or 8-man drive from Juice. I was like, that's what I'm writing about because that's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff to me is magical. When you get to spend a fourth quarter on the field, probably now they wouldn't let you. I get 5 minutes now.
Right. Yeah. Five minutes left. Some schools don't even do that anymore.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
It's still fun.
All right, so this coming football season.
Correct.
What do you think?
I keep telling people they're not quite as good as last year. Last year's time I thought we'd be in the playoffs. Didn't quite make it. They had a couple stumbles. Nobody's going to beat some of the teams. You know, they were not going to beat certain teams, but they had a chance to probably win more. One more game would have probably put them close. They didn't quite make it. But I think this team can win as many as 8 games. Can win as few as 6. So somewhere between 6 and 8. But if they win 9 or 10, I won't be stunned. Because I like the coach staff, like what they're doing. I like the quarterback. I like the offensive line. I like a lot of things. I don't like the schedule. I like the fact that Iowa comes in here and they're going to be pretty good. I know Oregon's really good. I know Ohio State's great. There's two great teams. Going to Michigan State, they'll be better. What else? Going to UCLA, they're going to be better. So there's some trapdoors there. But I think I'll say 8-4 right now. That gives them a nice bowl. Does not give them playoffs. If a 2014 playoff, they're in. So.
And you're all for a 2014 playoff.
100%.
And you're all for 76 in the NCAA tournament.
Why wouldn't you do that?
That I have a harder time with.
You're wrong. So that's you're wrong. It's okay. You can be wrong.
Well, you know the chief argument is you get more watered down.
No.
Power 14.
Let's watch it. Let's see what happens. Let's see seed number 18 or now, whatever it is. They will come in and beat. I was at the Purdue Frederick Dickinson game.
Okay.
I was there.
Yeah.
In the stands with my son. Greatest basketball game we've ever seen other than the Arizona game. It's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what I love that. The chance for more of those to happen is worthwhile to me. So I think getting more teams in is logical. Why don't we want, nobody ever said, the only person that said smaller is better was wrong. They're wrong. Smaller is better. Nobody says that. They always say bigger is better.
That's the other thing that's going to be on your tombstone. Often in doubt, never wrong. And then the other thing is, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Although, I heard Paul Feinbaum yesterday was very critical about the 2014 playoff. said it'd be the worst mistake in the history of college football. And they said, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. Well, I just think he went a little hyperbolic by saying
what he
that,
said, the worst ever.
The worst decision in the history of college football. I think there's some things that happened that were probably worse than that involved whoever. But I think that is going far, too far. So he's all SEC.
Yeah. I'm all Big Ten. I do think the 76 is more controversial amongst fans than the 24. I think everyone
tell me,
like, expand it. That's fine.
You know what? You know, probably people were mad when they went to 48, when they went to 32, when they went to 64. Get over it. Get used to it. The idea is going to be great.
My brother-in-law once said to me, Scott, I was complaining about something. He said, Scott, we're going to go down to the Home Depot. We're going to get some 2x4s so you can build a bridge and get over it.
I like that. Well, the last thing is the one-year-old one gets in as the 73rd team. Everybody here is going to shut up about it. Because, hey, I like that 74. I like that 80 team field, whatever, because I got my team in. If you're that 74th team, you're not going to play at all. You're like, okay, let's go.
So will any coach who has a line in his or her contract that says, make the tournament, get a bump.
It's $50,000 or whatever. It's probably more than that. Probably half a million. So.
Yeah. Bob, what do you work on over the summer?
As little as possible. No, lots of vacation. I've got a lot of all my football stuff to worry about. In the 25-year anniversary of the one team, I'll be doing some things about that. I get different. I help with whatever. Whatever they ask, Matt says, want to cover this? I'll say, sure, unless it's something I really hate. But I usually say yes. I always say yes.
The decision I made to not be in the News Gazette and WDWS building on a daily basis was very difficult. And one of the reasons it was hard was getting to hang around with people like you.
Sure. Well, I'm not there, though.
I know.
To be fair, I'm not there because COVID scared me a lot. And
interaction with you.
Well, thank you. All my stuff going on now, it's like, I kind of like being at home is better for me.
Yeah.
So I go in the office a couple times a week. I know I want to do that more. Eventually, I will go in more. But you're right. I've had so many friends leave over the years. Dave Campbell, I go back to, who's now in Cleveland. When he left, it was devastating. And we lost, Julie's lost friends that have moved on. It's really hard. But you just realize that's part of the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah. I got my thank you out. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on here and having a chat with us.
Anytime.
Talking through all of our stuff. It's a fascinating time to be covering Illinois sports.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like you waited 25, 30 years to get back to a team that's, you know, consistently right.
But I don't care, so it's perfect.
Right, it's good
perfect
point.
For me.
Easy enough to write, yes.
Your Braves are still good, I don't care, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I should not say that because my wife really, every time I say that to somebody, she gets mad at me. She says, why do you keep saying that? And I'm like, well, I just want people to know I'm fair, I'm neutral.
Yes.
I want that to be known. I am.
Yeah, I'm personally glad that you stuck it out, because I remember you know, after 2013 or whatever, I think you were considering, do I keep doing this and everything else?
No, actually, it's funny. I didn't think about not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it got me back to life.
Yeah.
I get, everybody can know this, probably knew this anyway. I got a little down. You know, your body's changing and your life's in threat.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. But it was like the carrot. Like, please come back to work.
Yeah.
So getting back to work was huge.
That's
and
great.
Again, credit to Jim Rosso, Jeff D'Alessio, John Foreman, Gene McDonald, all the people that John Beck helped me get back. So critical. All the people at the radio station. I mean, I couldn't do it without them. And the fact that I was able to come back and be normal. That's all I wanted was normal. So I got normal.
Yeah.
So far.
All right. Well, thanks for doing it.
Thanks, guys.
Bob.
Anytime.
We really appreciate it.
Bob Osmussen writes for the News Gazette. You can find it online, newsgazette.com, news-gazette.com, or all the Illini sports coverage that Bob and his colleagues write at IlliniHQ.com. For Bob Osmussen, for Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next time when we light the eye.